Amen. We're going to start with John chapter 16, verse 7. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper," we're talking the Holy Spirit here, "will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." He said, "I will send him, not it." You know, I don't know how many times it has to be told, but the Holy Spirit is a him, not an it. But he says to his disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away." The disciples must have thought, how in the world can this be to our advantage to be left alone? The Romans hate us because they see us as disturbers of the peace. And the Jews, these Jewish leaders, they hate us because they see us as blasphemers. Doesn't make sense. You alone love us, and you are leaving us? Well, his love should have been enough. So Jesus has to explain the benefits of his departure. When Jesus left, the believers would have the provision, not just the disciples, but the believers would have the provision of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. Hey, John, can you hear out there? Okay, because if not, I was going to have you come in here and sit with your wife. I just want to make sure. I got to get somebody to give you a break once in a while out there, sir. I don't think that's fair that you have to be out there all the time. I know you're okay with that. I love you, sir. Appreciate your service. Amen. John 16:7, though, in the Amplified Classic Edition. This is where I want to get to. "However," remember Jesus speaking, "I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter," and then in parentheses, "Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you." The Amplified translation gives us the sevenfold meaning of the Greek word parakletos. I practiced that one. Parakletos. Translated, comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby. So, a quick look. First, the Holy Spirit is our helper. The King James Dictionary definition for helper is one that helps, aids, or assists. One that supplies with any thing wanted. Remember, these are not my words. Often, we look to the wrong place, though, for help. How many of us look on the inside for help? Mm-hmm. How many of us depend on Him who is dwelling within us to help us? Yeah, Dean, we have to get a couple buttons up here. One that says amen, one that says praise God, you know. And I think that's what we need, you know.
That was easy.
Okay. Sometimes we run all over the country, though, and we're looking for some minister to help us instead of turning to the greater one on the inside of us. Yes, I know that, you know, God put ministers in the church to teach and to help people. But will they always be there in your time of need? No. Sorry to say, but no. But as a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit is always in you as a comforter to help and comfort you in any need. If you depend upon Him to comfort you, He will do it. You'll have comfort from within. People won't be able to understand how you can be so composed and at peace in times of trouble. Boy, we're living in a world full of trouble. But you'll know why. See, you'll know why. He is our faithful, loving comforter. For only someone who loves us dearly as his own life can bring us true comfort in our time of need. Not like Job's friends. Job, then you're like a 16 too. From the Message Bible, folks, I like this. He's talking to his friends now. Everything he's gone through. I've had all I can take of your talk. What a bunch of miserable comforters. Yeah, you read the story of Job, you can see why I call them a bunch of miserable comforters. They brought no comfort to him. All they want to do is tell him everything he did wrong. Trying to bring conviction on him. He was a holy man of God. But what he feared came upon him. Don't get into fear. Oh, praise God. We've got to not walk in fear. We are not of this world. Hallelujah. Thank God, the loving, understanding comforter lives within us. Lives within us. Okay, the Holy Spirit is our counselor. He'll counsel with us. So we must make it a point to take up consultation with Him. He will give us direction through God's Word to bring enlightenment to our spirit man. John 16:13, the New King James. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but He will speak whatever He hears. And He will tell you things that are to come. Pick up on this, verse 14. A lot of this doesn't ever get said. Remember Jesus speaking. He will glorify me, for He will receive from me and will declare it to you. Did you ever pick up on that? Jesus is the Word. Holy Spirit's going to speak what He's told to speak. Jesus was no longer going to be the teacher, but he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be his replacement. In John 14, 26, Jesus had said earlier to them, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. They weren't going to be able to forget anything because the Holy Spirit was going to bring it back to their remembrance. What Jesus had said. Holy Spirit does so by teaching us, giving us a fresh revelation to what is in the Word. He brings and I was thinking of magna lights, you know, so I decided this fresh lamp to manifest the treasures. Treasures that are hidden in the Scriptures for us. He unlocks. And this was kind of thought of Tim. He unlocks the strong boxes in which the truth has long been laid. The more that I study Scripture, the more revelation the Holy Spirit reveals. See, you have to get into the Word. As you do, you will get a greater depth revelation and understanding of what he has for us. Okay, he is our advocate. Advocate. And right away, yeah, I thought of Max. Okay, the word advocate means lawyer, one who pleads our cause. As an advocate, he'll help us. He knows how to plead our case. See, when we lack the confidence and we don't have the right words to speak in the time of trouble or need for our cause, we need to rely on our advocate. That's because you were in consultation with him. He was counseling you. See, a lawyer can't help you until you come in and have consultation with him. Because once you do, then he can give you direction because he knows the law. So when you get in consultation with the Holy Spirit knows the law. This is what we're talking about. He knows the Word. Hallelujah. Jesus told the disciples, trust the Holy Spirit. He would teach them the words needed to say. In Luke 12, 11 and 12, now when they bring you to the synagogues and minister and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer, or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Your advocate, if you got a good lawyer, he will give you right up to the moment you go in for your case what you're supposed to say. He will fill you with those words. And you win their confidence because you know who's representing you. Hallelujah. Okay. Holy Spirit is our intercessor. Intercessor. This has to do with our prayer life. While we are in this world, hoping and waiting for what we see not, we must be praying. I think we can all say a big amen We all need to be praying. Constantly, consistently, with persistence. Hope supposes desire. And that desire offered up to God is prayer. We groan at the very thought because of the weakness of our flesh. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8:26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." The Hebrew word for intercession is paga, P-A-G-A. Means literally to meet. This can be a meeting of people, the boundaries of two pieces of land, the earth and the sky, what we call the horizon. It really doesn't matter what the context is. The point is that two entities come together. This intercession is with our Father God. Birth with our communing. When we do not know what or how to pray for our Father, to our Father God, we can look inward, though, to the Holy Spirit, who is our intercessor. He will make the way of intercession, creating a meeting with God in a relational sense. Yeah, when you work with Him, you can have a father, son, or daughter meeting with the one who truly, truly loves you. Now, Romans 8:26 in the Living Bible. The Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and in our praying, for we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. Paul is telling us what the Holy Spirit will do to help believers in prayer as He dwells inside us. Take notice, Paul is writing to the Romans. He is talking to people who are not only born of the Spirit, but are also filled with the Spirit, meaning they had been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues or their heavenly language. Sila on that. If you haven't had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it pays. When you are born again, you do get the Holy Spirit, but you don't get the full power till you are baptized in the Spirit with the evidence and speaking in tongues. Don't be afraid of it. I loved it once I found it. We used to do that so much. Every time there was prayer, everybody in the congregation was praying in the Spirit. But they didn't know what was going on. But see, they were communicating with God. They didn't have, God was opening a channel of communication. They were praying from their heart. They didn't know what that person was up for, but they were praying in the Spirit, and He was hearing. And mighty things happened. But I was so excited for that. And I wanted it. And I wanted it, and I wanted it. And I said, okay. And I was driving to work one day, going up Green Tree Hill. Going up Green Tree Hill. I'll never forget. And I was saying, Lord, I want that Holy Spirit. I want it in me. I want to be able to speak in time, blah, 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 blah. Next thing I know, I just started. I went, ooh, off to the side, run up. I just parked there for a while and just prayed in tongues. It was the most awesome experience. Because I wanted it. I asked for it. And I received it. And then I had my wife later on tell me, when I told her I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit like that, she said, it don't happen like that. You couldn't have had it happen. Am I right? Yeah, she said, go ahead. Yeah, she did. So she said, so she went, she brings me up front for prayer with Pastor and says, Pastor, I want to let you know, Jack said he was praying and he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking in tongues now. She said, I told him it can't happen that way. He said, well, get back out of here. What are you talking about? You know, but so if you ask for it and you pray, you will receive it. And then he'll give you the utterances to say. It just flows. You're trying to think you have to make it up. It won't. It'll start to come. And it'll come so easy. You can bet that, better believe it. I stand at this pulpit because that woman prayed for me. And that's all I'll say. When people doubted that I would be in the church, doubted that I would be in the church. Well, when's your husband going to be here? I wouldn't be there, but she'd say, go ahead, say it. He is here. And they look at her and say, I guess that's all you can say. Walk away. There's something wrong with this lady. Wasn't nothing wrong with that lady. So I'm telling you, praying for someone, do not quit praying for someone. You pray and you pray and you pray. Consistently with persistence. Hallelujah. Okay, he is our strengthener. Our strengthener. My wife told me, if you get tired, just cut it off. I don't feel it. I can keep going, Therese, right now. So, yeah, it's what it is, brother. It's called the anointing. And you all have the anointing. We'll get to that here. Well, he is our strengthener. One who gives or aids and abides and adds strength. Adds strength, making you powerful. When dealing with a problem that is weighing us down, have you ever thought about looking on the inside for the strength? Probably not. Because you're probably waiting for God to send something down from heaven. Oh, Lord, strengthen me. Oh, Lord, come down, strengthen me, Lord God. Listen, the Holy Spirit is already inside of you, and He is the strengthener. You don't have to look to heaven no more. He is in you. Praise God. I thought you'd be more excited. I know I am. The more I talk about this, the more excited I get. Hallelujah. But in Philippians 4:13, we say this all the time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are strengthened through Christ. Christ is who, when he got to heaven, sent us the Holy Spirit, who is the strengthener dwelling inside us. Does the scripture make a little difference now to you? Jesus. See, we are ready for anything and equal to anything through the Holy Spirit who has been infused into our spirit. We are infused with supernatural inner strength. Say that. Say, I am infused with supernatural strength. Woo, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our standby. Our standby. I know I said it's going to be quick with these. Okay, standby. Meaning, readiness for duty. Or immediate deployment. Immediate deployment. The act of moving something or someone into a strategic military position. You don't go to battle alone. He's just standing by waiting for us to ask for his help. See, but maybe the reason he hasn't done anything for you is that you haven't asked him. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, for everyone who asks receives. And what's James say? James says, we have not because we ask not. He is standing by. He is standing by to help us anytime we need him. Why not ask him? And then listen. Amen. There's a problem. And I'll listen to the answer. And then even if he gives you the answer, no, I can't be that way. No, we ain't going to do it that way. Then you go off and try to do it the fleshly way. And guess what? I hear the stumbling. Come on. See, often instead of trusting and depending on the Holy Spirit, we try to figure out the solution to our problems in the flesh. We often pray primarily out of our own heads, which are sometimes, I said sometimes, no, more than sometimes, confused, perplexed, and worried. Oh yes, worried. What Paul writes, Scripture said in Philippians 4, don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Here is where we find ourselves, though. We worry before we pray, while we pray, and after we pray. Now, what good is that? When we pray like that, our praying doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Yeah. And for some reason, I had to look that up when I said, a hill of beans. And you know what? Only because that I knew that Mr. and Mrs. Osmond and Chet Backer, what they would know the real meaning behind that. And when I went back and you read it, it's pretty interesting how they come up with that, hill of beans. You know, planted between the corn crops and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so it's an interesting little story. You got to go there. So instead of letting the Holy Spirit help us and comfort us, way too often we depend on our flesh and our own mental capabilities to find answers to our problems or our needs. We've done all that, haven't we? Every time you turn around, we've done the same thing. We prayed for hours about a problem when we knew all along what the Word said about it. We just sort of wear ourselves out for nothing. It's like having a dark cloud hanging over our head. When our answer was in the Word all the time. Has that ever happened to you? Has me. Have you ever been so mentally upset and concerned about things that have happened that you feel like someone had beaten you up mentally? See, when that happens, you're trying to figure out a solution in your head. Your mind is so confused and you're just wearing yourself out mentally. But the Holy Spirit is not in your head. He's in your heart. See, He's in your spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit because your body is a temple of your own spirit. Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit. See, it's so wonderful in the midst of perplexity to have Holy Spirit right there in our spirit standing by us. We can actually find rest in the midst of the battle with Him on the inside of us. We can come to the place where we just laugh out loud. We laugh out loud when nothing seems to be going right. There's a lot of things you're seeing going on. You're thinking, oh, this is terrible. This is wrong. You're getting fed a bunch of garbage. You're not getting the truth. And the truth has been coming out. And the more the truth is coming out, there are more people's eyes are getting opened up. And we must not take our foot off the gas pedal. Full speed ahead. You cannot stop praying. Because there still are little evil victories going around and coming out. If you haven't seen. There are some states that are passing laws that are unbelievable. I'm just telling you there are. I got some things to say, but you just got to keep praying. And when it seems like things aren't going right, they are going right. God is not done with the United States of America. America shall be saved. Things will be turned around. I don't care how bad you look out there and you see it. See, you see it from the natural perspective. When you start to look at it and seeing it from God's perspective, you have a different attitude. You'll be able to sit there and say, He's doing what now? Yeah, really? Come on. And you can laugh. We've had a lot of laugh sessions, haven't we, Janice? See, when you're awakened in the middle of the night, though, instead of worrying, you know what? Just start laughing. Just start laughing. So we can laugh because, see, we have inside information. Yeah. Okay. Breaking news. The inside information is coming from the greater one inside you. That's some breaking news you can believe in. Because that's the truth. And when you got the truth will set you free, brother. See, we have the victory. I'm going to say it again. We have the victory. Well, Pastor, I don't feel I have the victory. If that is so, then you are walking by feeling and not by faith. See, faith calls those things that be not as though they are. And faith is not knowing God can, but God will. You see the difference? We know He, you know, well, He can do it, but will He do it? Yes! Amen. That's what faith is. Knowing God will. He will not forsake us. He will not forsake this nation either. He will not forsake the righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Whoo, Jesus! We love You, Lord. Thank God for that our salvation, though, is not based on feelings, right? It's based on the Word of God. And the Word of God is true. It is true. That's the problem with a lot of believers today. See, they have the victory inside of them and don't even know it. They've been going by feelings and struggling in the flesh with their problem when all they needed to do was stir up the anointing within them. Yes. 1 John 2:20 says, are you ready? You can say this together with me because this is quoted in the Word. We have the anointing. Gift of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy One, Jesus, gave me. The anointing is in you. We always have the anointing. The Holy Spirit within us to help us pray and to help us in every area of our life. The Bible says He abides in us. And still, some might say, I don't feel Him. Now, let me assure you, the Holy Spirit is in us just as much when we don't feel His presence as He is when we feel His presence. If He came and went, He wouldn't be abiding within us. Abide is the Greek word meno. Don't go there, Tim. And it means to remain, not to depart, continue to be present. So first things first, we have to believe the Bible because it says we do have the Holy Spirit abiding within. Second, we have to do what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. Therefore, I remind you, and I'm going to talk to all of you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands, of my hands, he said. Paul's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit here. Paul talks about the gift of God being given through the laying on of hands, which we can do. Or not, there is a prayer we can say. Then, the next verse, though. The next verse, Paul reminds him. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Self-control. You got to stir the gift up. See, the more you stay, the more you pray in tongues, the stronger you get, the strength fires up in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll be full of vim, vinegar, and vitality in Jesus' name. It's the Holy Spirit. Fire is a type of the Holy Spirit. The fire. In Luke 3:16, I'm winding down here. John answered. He said to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire, fire, fire in the house. Hallelujah. In Acts 2:3-4. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We can stir up the fire that is within us. We can stir up the anointing within us. Do you hear that? We can stir up the anointing within us. Whew. Paul wrote to the church in Rome and said, be fervent in the Spirit. That's Romans 12, 11. Moffat's translation says, maintain the spiritual glow. God gave us the fire and anointing of the Holy Spirit within. But it is up to us to maintain the glow. We need to stir up the embers and inner fire of the Holy Spirit. See, it's up to us to stir Him up. Have you ever been to one of our bonfires? You watch that fire start. And what's Rich do? He got his big old poking thing, and he gets and he stirs it up, and the more he stirs it up, the bigger the fire gets. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do with the fire of the Holy Spirit that's in us. Get that. When you think about getting the fire of the Holy Spirit and getting it going and getting it cranked up, you think of the fire that that man builds. So you can imagine the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Woo! My, it would be warm there. It'd get warm up here. Romans 12, 11, the Amplified Classic. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. The Spirit is fire. Be aglow and afire. Pray in tongues with your heavenly language daily. Daily. If you don't use it, you lose it. I'm telling you. That's what happens to us. That's why you got to pray in tongues and stir up the fire to get the anointing going. You wonder why you're so down? That's why. It's down there to a little bunch of coals. You need a fire and stir it up and get that blaze going again. Hallelujah. It is through praying in the Spirit that we stir up the inner fire. We all need to start using the Holy Spirit and His gifts within us. The Comforter, Helper, Counselor, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, and Standby. Amen? Amen. How about let's...